Welcome to Light in the Land, where we illuminate the Bible within the context of the land of Israel. Each week, we uniquely dive into biblical passages using archaeology, history, geography, customs and culture of the biblical period, and the Hebraic background of Jesus, guiding you along ancient paths and into biblical towns and landscapes is Dr. John DeLancey. He serves as the founder and director of Biblical Israel Ministries and Tours, and has led over 90 Israel study trips to date, as well as participated in many archaeological digs. We pray this program connects you to the land, deepens your understanding of the Bible, and inspires your walk of faith in Christ.
First impressions, or maybe we should call them biblical impressions. When I take people to Israel, I always am intrigued at how people process what they're seeing for the first time, their first impression of an archaeological site or a region, and the difference that that makes. So that's what we're going to talk about in this new episode of Light in the Land, here as we talk about the Bible through the lens of Israel's physical settings. Today, I am joined with Pastor Chris Blanche from Maine. I almost said Minnesota, but you're cold up there in the winter as well. Yes, welcome, Pastor Chris, this episode.
Yeah, good to be here. Thanks, John.
Chris is a member a board member of our ministry, Biblical Israel Ministries and Tours. And you tell me, how many trips have you gone on with me?
Yes, so I've been on two trips. I joined you. My first trip was in June of 2022. And that was just myself and a friend who traveled with you. Mm-hmm. And in January 2025, we brought a group from our church with you. And actually, we're currently planning a third trip. So, yeah.
Yeah, in February of 28, I think.
February of 28, correct.
Yeah, a trip with Sinai. So I wanted to invite you. In fact, you're going to be joining us for our next episode as well. But in the process of this episode, I put together five images, and then, of course, the next episode will include five more. But I want to do my best to share some images with our audience. And certainly, if you are watching this on our video podcast, you'll see that quite clearly now in front of you. But as we begin this episode or podcast 45, Chris, I just simply want to invite you to share, I'm going to call them biblical impressions, because really that's what they are. I know they're first impressions, but maybe when we look at this wall of Jericho, in fact, I'm sure in future episodes I'll talk more in detail about the walls of Jericho. In fact, this outer wall was most likely a fortification wall that Joshua saw. But let's just have fun with this and talk about first impressions, biblical impressions, as it relates to the text of Scripture. Do you remember standing here at the southern end of the site and seeing this wall for the first time?
I do. Yeah, I do. So this is the, I guess I would refer to the old city of Jericho. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I remember you pointing out the walls and how the mud brick fell outward, which I thought was, you know, a pretty big insight into the idea of, you know, Joshua and then coming around the wall and then the walls falling outward, which created an access into the city, which that was something that really stood out to me when I stood down here. The other piece about Jericho that I thought was fascinating, I think you actually brought us not only to this site, mm-hmm. But you took us to the newer site, mm-hmm. Jericho, where Herod had built sort of his winter palace. And what I remember really from our time in Jericho was just making that connection. So when you look at the Gospels of Jesus coming in and out of Jericho, and there seems to be some conflict, maybe you can elaborate on that, but just the idea that it's resolved when you understand the location of both the old and the newer city of Jericho. I thought that was really insightful.
Yeah, they were not located at the same place, these cities, one from the old, one from the new, but I remember my first impression back in 1981 when I stood at the southern perspective of the city and saw this wall. And as you mentioned, there was indeed a mud brick wall on top of this stone revetment wall, as it's called, using an archaeological term. But like, pinch me if this is real. Is this really the wall that that Joshua saw? Like, it is. Although some, of course, doubt it. We always have that in archaeology. If there's one discovery, there's usually five different interpretations of what was uncovered. But a biblical impression. I mean, we read Joshua 6 here. And again, as you alluded to, just to the south of this site is Hasmonean or Herodian Jericho, where we could open our Gospels and read about Jesus and Zacchaeus or Jesus and Bartimaeus from the texts of the Gospels. But what a great impression as we, again, use this as an example of an Old Testament site. In fact, speaking of which, just to the south of Jericho, along the lines of the Dead Sea shoreline, I should say, is this oasis of En-Gedi. Now, I think probably on one, if not both of our trips together, you and your group joined me with a hike up into the canyon. It's called the Wadi. It means dry riverbed, although in this case, it's not a dry riverbed. All year round, there's water flowing here. But there's some interesting stories attached to En-Gedi as well. What were your first biblical impressions of this site, Pastor Chris?
Yeah, this is actually, you know, one of my favorite sites when we traveled to Israel. And I think it comically, you know, whenever I read the stories about David hiding out from Saul in En-Gedi, I don't know. I guess I had this impression. I just felt bad for David. Not that I don't still. But when we got to En-Gedi and we actually hiked up in here, and you know what's beyond this, even this picture, these beautiful waterfalls, I was like, man, what a! I mean, if you got to hide out somewhere, this is a beautiful, beautiful spot. And I get it in this picture. If you were to turn around, you can see the Dead Sea as well. It's just a beautiful, beautiful place. Something else I think you pointed out when we were there that I just found fascinating. And, you know, being here is you talked about, you know, Ruth coming over from Moab and perhaps traveling up through this area and traveling up to, up into the hill country. And again, just picturing, you know, Ruth and Naomi traveling through this land and coming up, just remarkable.
And, one other story that I recall, in fact, a story that I mentioned when I am with groups here is that 2 Chronicles 20 passage where Jehoshaphat is maybe 25 miles away, give or take, in Jerusalem. He's the Judean king. He hears word about three invading armies here on the actually gathering here at En-Gedi. And you know verse 12 well, don't you, in terms of what and how Jehoshaphat faced this predicament.
Yeah, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. What an incredible prayer. And the way that they saw God move on their behalf in the verses that followed. It's interesting. When we were there, John, you shared that at En-Gedi. And I think the next day, maybe, we were up in Galilee. And, you know, on the Sea of Galilee, and, you know, the disciples were facing a storm, and we just took me right back to that prayer of Jehoshaphat. Lord, we don't know what to do. We're caught in this storm of life and we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. That's the right thing they did in the boat. They fixed their eyes on Jesus. Remarkable.
And that passage, as a result of what Jehoshaphat did, during this one occasion is that he brought his army. It was led by the Levites, the choir guys, and they're singing Hadula Adonai Kitov Kileolam Chasdo, in terms of honoring God, giving thanks to him, for he is good and his mercy endures forever. And lo and behold, they get on top of a cliff. The text tells us the ascent of Ziz, Z-I-Z, and perhaps it was maybe this cliff that we're looking up to. It maybe was another cliff looking down to the general area. We really can't be sure, but some historical geographers suggest that the ascent of Ziz was where they stood, looking down and seeing how God took care of these three invading armies. They actually ambushed each other, and here a sword didn't even have to be lifted. So what a biblical impression. I mean, this is a great example, Chris, of how we can go to Israel and open up a Bible, a text of Scripture, and actually see it unfold right before our very eyes.
Incredible. Yeah, and it just changes. I mean, honestly, it changes how you I mean, the text is true, but it opens your understanding to understand the text in a whole new way.
Yeah.
For sure.
So a biblical impression, and certainly if you have traveled, anyone who's listening to this episode, this podcast, and watching it actually, and maybe you have gone to Israel and you have seen these images. In fact, this third one is the view from the Arbel Cliff. Arbel is not specifically mentioned in the Gospels, but what a great view of looking down towards the west-northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee. Your first impression when, in fact, you were, you've done this hike a couple times with me, of course. It's a hike of a little over an hour, give or take, depending on the group, I guess. But your first impression of looking at this body of water for the first time, and what were you processing as to maybe relating it to the life and ministry of Jesus?
Yeah, I mean this. I mean, so Galilee is hands down my favorite area in Israel to spend time in. I'm so glad you do spend so much time up in the Galilee with your groups, but. Yeah, as I said just in the previous, you know, when we were talking about 2 Chronicles 20:12, and Lord, we don't know what to do, our eyes are on you. I mean, with the disciples in the boat on the water, this is the sea. This is the location where Jesus spent the majority of his ministry, up around this water. And I don't know if there's a better view. I mean, you might. I don't know if there's a better view of Galilee than right where you took this picture from on Arbel. What I distinctly remember about Arbel was the time that you gave us to sit down and just reflect on the Sermon on the Mount. Mm. I think you even suggested that perhaps on the foothills, of this Mount Arbel is a possible location where maybe Jesus sat down and taught the disciples. And I think it's right next to the Valley of the Doves you mentioned, and just seeing the normal route that people would make coming from like Nazareth or the Jezreel Valley up into Galilee through this, the Valley of the Doves right next to Mount Arbel. And just, this was a location where a lot of people could gather the time on Arbel with just reading the Sermon on the Mount, picturing Jesus, you know, talking with his disciples, sharing the secrets of the kingdom. It's probably one of the more reflective times that we had in Israel.
Yeah, I agree. I think for most people, this is a special occasion, whether they hike it with me or walk from the visitor center, but to gain this view. In fact, Magdala is right down below. You see the area, or in the right bottom right corner-ish, if you will. And then around the bend of this lake is Capernaum. So we could really see from Magdala, the plains of Gennesaret, where Luke, by the way, preserves perhaps where the sermon took place, Matthew 5, 6, and 7, as you said, Sermon of the Mount. Well, there's a hill right around the bend of the lake. It's the traditional Mount of Beatitudes, but yeah, why not the lower slopes of Arbel? But here we can see a lot of what Jesus encountered. So the impression, the biblical impression of seeing Jesus here, doing ministry here, calling his disciples, Matthew 4, going to Capernaum, Mark 1, 2, 9, Luke 7, John 6. Many of these passages come to life when we are here, when we're standing and viewing things like this. In fact, the lake itself, as I mentioned before in previous episodes, is a freshwater lake. It's about 13 miles long and maybe 6.5, maybe 7 at the widest point, but really a good place to gain perspective and impressions of the ministry of Jesus. Yeah, now, next.
Oh, sorry, John. I just, one of the thoughts I had there was that you also mentioned, I think, to us the idea that when Jesus said to his post-resurrection to meet me on the mountain in Galilee.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, when you're in Galilee and you look around, this is the most prominent location. I mean, when you're on the lake, even looking around the lake, Arbel just stands out as like the mountain. It is a remarkable spot.
Yeah, that's a great reminder. At the end of Matthew, go to a high mountain, and that's where Jesus basically invited them to make disciples of all nations. So who knows? It could have been on top of Arbel. Yeah. So certainly a good gospel connection with an impression of Jesus and his ministry there. So Shiloh, that's how it's pronounced in Hebrew, Shiloh as we would pronounce it. I love the site. I actually had a chance to dig here just for a short time to help with the excavation a few years ago. It's an active dig. They just finished up in this past May into June. And they're making some progress as to figuring out where the tabernacle was. But when we come to Shiloh, we enter into that story and we get our first impression of young Samuel. You recall that passage from 1 Samuel 3 that we read right here. And of course, whether the tabernacle was, in fact, I'll try to highlight it. I know my mouse is small. I'll try to enlarge that for future episodes. But there is a theory, a newer theory by Dr. Scott Stripling, that this monumental building went right across this path. So either side of this path going down, in fact, the more recent excavation this past season went down further below some of the earlier, later levels, trying to determine if this monumental building actually extends here to, I guess it would be the east. But what a first impression to think that Samuel was dropped off here, handed over, if you will, at a young age to Eli, and he grows up within the context of where the very tabernacle stood.
Yeah. Again, just an amazing. I feel like I'm going to be a broken record here. Every site. This is an amazing site. Literally, every site truly is an amazing site. But first impressions. What stands out to me from our time together at Shiloh or Shiloh. Actually, you just mentioned, Samuel, and, you taught us the Hebrew word Hineni, at this site, and just the incredible depth of meaning in this simple phrase, here I am. But to really be, I'm all in. I am all in. Here I am, all of me. I'm here at your service. And just the call that we have as followers of Christ to declare every day, Hineni, I'm yours. Here I am. And you shared other examples of Hineni in scripture like Isaiah and others, but It's incredible. I don't, maybe John, you can elaborate a little bit, but my understanding is more and more evidence pointing to the fact that perhaps they really have found the foundations of the tabernacle here. I feel like you had shared or I'd read that they, you know, found a pile of bones near this site where, like, was it 90+%
Yeah.
The bones are from the right side of the animal.
Right. I mean,
yeah.
So indeed, this was where the tabernacle was. Sacrifice did take place here. The suggestion has been, and it seems to be confirmed, that the tabernacle took on a more permanent feel to it, maybe not a tent, if you will, that was movable as it was in the Sinai experience and the wanderings there for 40 years. But when it was brought here to Shiloh after the conquest, most likely around 1400 BC, it became more of a permanent structure until it was destroyed. We have evidence of that archaeologically. 1 Samuel 4 mentions the battle at Aphek with the Philistines. And there's actually burn levels here that were found that sort of indicate that the city was, and the tabernacle was destroyed in the beginning of that 11th century. But just to stand here in the proximity of where the tabernacle was and think that young Samuel heard the voice of God. Of course, he thought it was Eli calling him at first, but then, "Speak, Lord," he says, "your servant is listening." Maybe this is a great example of how biblical impressions can not only help our understanding, informationally speaking, of the Bible. We look at archaeology, history, the geography, where Shiloh is located. It's about 20 miles north of Jerusalem. But to apply this to our lives, I mean, this is really the bottom line of traveling to Israel. We get biblical impressions of sites, but it really is really life-changing and transforming.
Praise God.
Let's end this episode with the classic, yes, the classic view of the Temple Mount. And, of course, the Dome of the Rock, a Muslim holy site, is there on top. But I always like to highlight and prioritize that the first and second temples once stood where we see that golden dome. But looking across the eastern wall, there's the eastern gate. Of course, Jerusalem is built up now, but we're looking from the Mount of Olives across the Kidron Valley. Is there any way to describe a first impression standing here?
I mean, this is, and before I came to Israel, this is one of the, I mean, I think like most people, this is one of the places that I was most looking forward to visiting, to be on the Mount of Olives, looking over towards where the temple once stood. And I think for me, it's, you know, when we were standing on this place on the Mount of Olives, and it's hard not to think of Christ on the day of his triumphal entry. To be, you know, again, there's it's deeply stirring. I mean, to be standing there now and to look over and see the Dome of the Rock and to recognize what was once there. And, but the thought of Christ coming down the Mount of Olives and just looking over to the city and weeping over the city and, the love that he has for his people. Yeah, it's an incredibly, it's an emotionally stirring place to stand.
It really is. The connections, the impressions of Old Testament history. City David is just to the south of this image, down off the slope of the Temple Mount. And yet, when we connect with Jesus, Palm Sunday, Luke 19, Gethsemane, where he prayed, "Not my will, but yours be done," somewhere on the slopes right below us. Can't really pinpoint, although there are some traditional locations for really a lot of events that are mentioned in the Gospels. But even looking, just as we bring this to a close, just beyond the Golden Dome, you see a gray dome. You see it there, And yeah. to the left of it is a tower called the Redeemer Lutheran Tower. But this very well could have marked the location where Jesus was crucified and where he was placed in a tomb. And, of course, 3 days later, where he rose again. Today it's called the Holy Sepulchre Church. It's inside the old city walls of Jerusalem today. But indeed, in the days of Jesus, this was outside the wall, and no doubt, most likely, I should say, the place where God's redemptive plan was fulfilled.
Yeah, and where he's, where this picture is taken, the place where he ascended and will return.
Which is Zechariah 14, yeah. Mm-hmm. So a lot of impressions. This episode could be hours long if we talk about all the impressions just from these five images, but I continue to be blown away, really, as we visit Israel time and time again, as we take people there, and just the impact that it really does make upon people's perspective of God's Word. They learn it in context, as we, of course, teach all the time, but the heart transformation that takes place as we allow these biblical impressions to really inspire us, transform us, and motivate us to be followers of Christ. Mm. Any last words before we bring this to a close, Chris?
No, I mean, I would be remiss not to, if someone is watching this episode and they have the opportunity to go, obviously I would highly recommend traveling to Dr. John. If you're able to do so, I've done it twice and looking forward to doing it a third time. But if there's any way for you to get to Israel and to see it firsthand, it's to take it in, this, the sights, the smells, the temperature. There's just so much to take in, and it will add so much depth to your understanding of Scripture and the things that took place there. So,
well, people come home with dozens and dozens of impressions. And again, whether we call that first impressions or maybe biblical impressions, maybe that's the better word, it really does have an impact on our walk of faith with Christ. So, Pastor Chris from Maine, thanks for joining us for this episode. And I hope that if you are watching this on our YouTube channel, certainly feel free to like this video, share it, make a comment, ask a question. In fact, we'll check on questions and comments as this is posted, but certainly feel free to do that. We would appreciate that very much. So thanks again for hanging out with us. And as we always say, until next time, Shalom. Shalom.
Thank you for joining us for this program. We hope it was enlightening and inspiring. If you have questions, you can email Dr. John Delancey at drjohn@biblicalisraeltours.com. We invite you to visit our website, biblicalisraeltours.com, where we have resources about Israel and the Bible, select images from today's program, along with links to our YouTube channel featuring on-location teaching videos from the land of Israel. Additionally, our site also has information about upcoming trips throughout Israel and other biblical lands. A tour of the Holy Land will transform the way you read and understand the Bible, as it has for thousands of others. Until next time, thanks for listening, and Shalom.